Thank you, Karen. I've noticed some people still have their cameras enabled. So if you go in, if you're on a Windows machine, go down to the bottom left corner and press stop video. If you're on a Apple product, go to the top right and there's been stop video. And if you can't do it, I'll turn your camera off myself. So, okay, let me just turn off some of the cameras. Welcome to the conference call service for Bayview United Church on Sunday, June 21st, Father's Day and Indigenous Sunday. Cindy, you may proceed.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our 15th Zoom gathering through audio and video worshiping. And it's such a joy, as always, to see those who have called or come in through video and to hear the voices of all those who are on the phone and speaking. It's just sounds nice to be together once again. And a special shout out today to all our fathers. Happy Father's Day, and I hope that you have a wonderful day. You have an opportunity either to visit with family in person or phone calls or virtually. Just I hope you have a wonderful day, and it's a great day just to remember our dads who are still with us and those who have passed on. And we just keep remembering the gifts that they have given to us, and we celebrate that joy and their experience of being with us in our lives. Today we're also commemorating Indigenous Day in Canada. It began about 24 years ago that we began to celebrate and commemorate this day. And it's such an important day to be aware of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, especially during this time when there is so much happening in our world, especially about racism and that systemic racism that's been in our societies in Canada and around the world. And so we want to uplift our Indigenous brothers and sisters today and show that love, respect, and care that all people deserve to have as God's children. So we come in that spirit of gathering together. Again, we want to thank those who are able to support our church financially during these difficult times. We are thankful to those who send in checks or go through PAR or Canada Helps. And even this week, Kaz announced that we can now use e-transfer. So that things can be very easily done. It can go from your account to the BUC account directly. So if you're interested and need some information, you could always talk to Kaz about that. And we also thank all those who continue to support our mission and service fund of our United Church of Canada, as it is so important to continue to send outreach support to people in Canada and around the world. And I invite you also, you know how important it is to keep in touch with loved ones, so I invite you to keep in touch with the members of our congregation, maybe those who you have been thinking about and thought it would be nice to connect. Give them a call and just say hi and see how they're doing. And always feel free to give me a call anytime or email. Always enjoy talking with people. Thanks to all those who are participating in our service today through music. We thank Karen, who's our music director, and we thank our soloist, Lauren Lazar, and to Penny Tibbles Cookson for sharing in our service today. And we'll look forward to Lauren singing a solo a little bit later in the service. Want to also thank Lori Clubinito for reading our scripture and also sharing with me and reading some sacred teachings later in the service. And thanks to our technical group who are keeping us all together and online and on the phone, to Brian for hosting, and Ron Bluer and John Brooker as well for making sure that we're all connected. So please feel free if you have any questions or need any help in getting online, just to contact Brian or one of the helpers to make sure that you're able to get online and connect easily. So if you have an order of service, I invite you to follow along. You're welcome to join in the prayers, the singing of the hymns, just to gather together in that spirit. And Karen will play an introduction to the hymns, and our soloist will sing the verses for us. So let's just take a moment to quiet our thoughts and just prepare our hearts for this time of worship. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day and Indigenous Sunday, we come before our Creator who gave us life. With all our relations, we pray, sing, and dance for the Great Spirit that is at the center of our circle of life. We give thanks for fathers who inspire healthy competition, risk-taking, and independence in others. We rejoice at the insights of our Indigenous brothers and sisters who teach us through their sacred teachings and their spirituality. And may our hearts beat as one through the rhythm of life. Let us now unite our hearts in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Great Spirit, whose breath we feel in the wind, whose voice we hear in the birds, whose eyes we see in the children, hear our prayer. You are the God of all our yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Give us eyes to see the sacred way you have presented for us. Teach us to walk in the footsteps of your Son, the Chief of Chiefs. May our worship strengthen and unite us as your children of creation. Amen. Penny is now going to lead us in our opening hymn, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness.
Gentleness, flow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you goaded your people with a law and a land. And when they were blinded with their idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, flow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes, from the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes, with bold new decisions. Your people arise. Spirit, spirit of gentleness, flow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea.
Thank you, Penny. That was lovely. I invite you to join with me in a time of prayer as we join in a prayer for grace. Let us pray. Creator, open us this day to the power of your love and interconnectedness. Help us to receive both the painful and inspiring stories in our world. By your healing love, lead us toward your healing grace and your dream for wholeness among all nations. Transform our hearts and minds so that we may continually work for transformation and unity with all people. Amen. And one of the incredible gifts of surprise is the offer of God's forgiveness. God's grace is offered freely to us, and in response, we humbly say, "Thank you, God." I now invite Lori to read our scripture lesson this morning, followed by Lauren singing, "Through Though I May Speak."
Today's gospel lesson is taken from Mark 4, verses 26 to 34. Jesus's parables of the growing seed and mustard seed. Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First, the tender stalk appears, then the head, and finally the head full of grain. When the grain is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because harvest time has come. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade." Jesus preached his message to the people, using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables. But when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. May God's blessing be added to this reading.
Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain, a sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though I may give all I possess, and striving soul my love profess, but not be given by love within, the profit soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It's such a pretty piece and very meaningful to us as we come in this spirit of worship. Today we're sharing stories about Indigenous people as well as fathers and some of the impact and learnings that they have brought into our lives. And I'd like to begin by inviting Brian to share a story about his dad with us.
Hi there. So you can see in my background there, that's a drawing of my father. And he died in 2002, so that's 18 years ago. And for his funeral, my son Jeremy drew a sketch of him with his beloved dog, Tora. Tora means tiger in Japanese. And here's my story. In the early 1960s, when I was 7 to 12 years old, many Sundays during the summer, we would go to church in the morning, and then right after the service, we would drive north on Highway 400 and go to the town of Midland. There was a picnic area called Little Lake Park with a swimming area with a sandy beach and shallow waters. The Kai family would go with our friends, the Koyanegis and the Seishos. We would set up a few picnic tables and blankets and have our dinner on the beach, cooking over barbecues that were provided. In the park, there was a Native people's restored village. During the summer, we would get very tanned, and especially my father would get quite dark. One Sunday, we went to the Native village. My father introduced himself to the staff and said in a convincing voice, "How?" The staff thought my father was a genuine indigenous person of authority, and we were allowed into the village free of charge. My father never said he was a Native person, but he must have provided a convincing act. The Native village is still there today, called Huronia, and you can find it on the internet. That's my father's day story for today and a connection to our indigenous friends.
Thanks, Brian. Your dad really had a great impact on your life, and he really supported your dreams. And I was quite taken that he was the one who actually supported you getting your first motorcycle, much to the dismay of your mum, I think. And he even got you tickets to go see the Beatles and even took you to the airport when they arrived. So he was quite a wonderful man who really sought to support you and your hopes and dreams. I want to also share another story about a father who was quite a wise man, but he was really terrible when it came to the kitchen. And one day his wife was ill and wasn't able to do anything in the kitchen, and they needed some groceries. So his wife made a list of groceries, 8 items on the list, and the husband said, "Oh, I can go get those, no problem." So he went to the grocery store and picked up the items and proudly brought them home and began to show his wife all of the things that he got. He pulled out 1 bag of sugar, 2 dozen eggs, 2 liters of milk, 4 hams, 5 boxes of detergent, 6 boxes of crackers, 7 heads of lettuce, and 8 green peppers. At the end of it, the family said, "Well, at least Dad knows how to count." Dads are a special part of our lives, and they have touched us in many different ways. They teach us new things. They comfort us when we are down. They help us they work hard so that we can have a good life. And they also care for us and help us to realize that we need to care for others as well. They teach us to be the best people that we can be and to live up to our full potential. And I just wanted to share a few stories of some fathers who really sought to do this in their lives with their children. And one of the fathers is Bradley Herbst. And he had 2 teenage children, a daughter and son, who he would drive to school each day. And when they drove, he drove them, they were all both looking at their cell phones and talking on their cell phones. And, they were absorbed in their lives. And he was basically just the chauffeur. And he didn't like that. He wanted to spend some time with them. And it was just a 10-minute drive. So he said to them, you can't look at your phone, use your phone for the 10 minutes that we're in the car. We're going to chat together. And if you don't, if you keep losing your cell phone, I'm going to walk you into class wearing a costume, a different one each day. And so each day he would dress up in a different costume. Sometimes he was Elvis. Sometimes he was a cheerleader. Sometimes he was dressed as an old woman and was going to walk in using a walker. He was even dressed as the Cat in the Hat. And in order for Dad not to get out of the car, the children soon learned not to use their cell phones. And so they had wonderful conversations in those 10 minutes of driving that they didn't get any other time. And it really made a deep connection within the family. They got a lot closer together by doing that. Another dad named Robert Olivio, when his son was graduating from high school, Robert took out a tie that his son had given to him that he had made when he was in grade one, 11 years before this graduation. And so on the graduation, the father wore the tie that had Pokemon on the front of the tie that the son had made. And the son was so proud of that tie because he loved Pokemon and thought his dad would love it as well. And so the son never saw that tie again, except on graduation day, 11 years later, the dad brought it out to just show his son how much it meant to him and that he cared. And he was also showing him that his son was transitioning from being a child into an adult. And it made a real impact on his son as he was graduating. And another story is a dad named Jerry Zhang. And he was the father of two little girls. They were 2 years old and 4 years old. And Jerry was lamenting that he couldn't find any characters in books that resembled the life of his two daughters, that they were of Chinese descent background. And so he was looking for these books to read so that they could identify with these, with Asian girls. And his daughter came to him one day and said, I want to stop being Chinese. I want to be the character that I like in this book. And their dad was quite upset and wanted them to be proud of their culture and their heritage. And so he decided to write a book, a children's book, about them as Asian little girls. And the main character he named Pepper after his daughter. And he was actually did little episodes that related to some of the things that his daughter did. And after reading that, she was so proud of who she was, and she continued to love to read and to love her culture heritage so that she could feel that confidence in her life and really be proud of the person that she was growing up to be. And another person was Jeffrey Liu. And he found out that in his son's school that some of the children weren't able to pay for their lunch. And so they had actually a debt of lunches. And the school would keep a record of how much these children who weren't able to afford their lunch paid. And they began to shame the children because they weren't able to pay for their lunches. They would give the children either a cold cheese sandwich or they would put a mark on their shoulder to show that they owed money. Or sometimes they would even just throw the food into the trash can instead of giving it to the children who were hungry. And when Jeffrey learned about this shaming of their lunches, he decided that this was not right, that no child should go hungry. And so he decided to start a GoFundMe page. And as a result of that, he was able to raise over $25,000 that paid for all the lunches in that school, as well as the whole district in Seattle. And as a result of that, no child had to go without having lunch. And so these dads were really seeking to bring out a sense of love and care for their children, wanting to have a deeper relationship and respect for who they are and learn about their past and become united as individuals who seek the best for themselves, but also for the other people around them, to show that they care and have that concern for others. And so the parable that Lori read from the Gospel of Mark about the seeds of the soil is that sense of gaining the joy of being in God's kingdom and recognizing that when we have these seeds planted in the soil, that on their own they begin to grow. They grow and flourish with fruit and bear leaves, and it's through that growing and maturing that they reach their full potential and become the, as Mark was saying through the gospel, the kingdom of God is being realized through this passage of scripture. That these parables were really reaching out to the people in Jesus's day and trying to help them to see the potential that they have, and that with the mustard seed, that small seed that starts out so tiny and yet grows up to be a huge tree and gives the fruit and enables the people to truly be inspired by that gift of God's kingdom. And so Jesus was saying, like, you can't hide the gift of this seed, that it will flourish. And that is what we seek to do in our lives, that we are all God's children, and that the kingdom of God is coming to be with us and to be into fruition through living out our full potential. And that is the gift of the Spirit that enables those seeds to grow in us so that we can be God's people here on earth and throughout the whole world, so that the lives of us can reach our potential. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes we falter, and there is opportunity for change, that the seeds keep coming so that we have opportunity to do things in new ways and seek out new ways of being God's people and live to our full potential of living out the talents and gifts and just being God's people. I want to just share with you the story of Louis Riel. And many of you will know that story, and it's been taught to us in different ways. And I have just recently heard the story from the great, great grandniece of Louis Riel. She is a teacher, a professor, a lawyer, an actor, a singer, a poet. But she has just written a book that was published in 2019 called The Northwest is Our Mother, the story of Louis Riel's people and the Métis Nation. And her name is Jean Tétai. And Jean wrote this book and gives us a new, I think, and a really fresh perspective on this story of how the Métis people really had an opportunity to really transform Canada, and yet were not able to do it because of the racism that was present at the time. So the Métis people were actually called voyageurs, and they were travelers, and they traveled from Quebec and Northern Ontario, which was Thunder Bay, and they traveled into Manitoba. And they were part of the Hudson's Bay Company and worked for them. And when they settled out in Manitoba, they began to grow as a community and as a nation. and they wanted to have the roots in that land and to be able to be given the land. And because the Hudson's Bay owned the land, they had to petition to have land given to them. But the government of Canada under Sir John A. Macdonald, he never wanted that to happen. He just wanted to, again, just assimilate the Métis people and not recognize them or give them any land. And as a result of that, there was a lot of dispute happening. The Métis people, they were very democratic. And they would also seek to make sure that when they had decisions to make, that they made them democratically. Everyone got a vote and the majority ruled, which was different from other Indigenous groups that tried to have everyone have consensus. But the Métis did it by democracy, and they truly believed in it. And Louis Riel, being part of the Métis clan, that he was also one who wanted to have the land given to the people, and that he wanted the government to acknowledge that. And so he very democratically tried to reach out to the Canadian government. He sent over 80 petitions to the government asking them to work together with the people so that they could come together and be part of Canada, of the new confederation. And this was taking place in the 1870s. And as a result of that, they sought to bring that sense of the Métis people together so that they could bring their nation to be part of this new nation of Canada. But the government of Canada didn't want to do that. And they actually sent out a group of people called the National or the Canadian Party. And they were coming from Ontario. And the Canadian Party, many of them were what we call the Orangemen. And they were people who were trying to take the land from the Métis people. They didn't respect them. They didn't feel they had deserved the land. And so they came and were ready to take it over. And as a result of that, there was a rebellion that happened. And the Métis people were able to hold them off and try to be able to seek a just resolve to this. But in all the petitions and all the different ways that Riel was trying to reach the government, the government really didn't want to have that opportunity of bringing the Métis people into Canada in a consensus model. They just wanted them to assimilate in and not have any power. And that's what they did. They began another rebellion in 1885, and the Métis weren't able to keep off the Canadian soldiers. And as a result of that, they lost that battle. And they took Riel as prisoner, as their leader. And as a result, he was put on trial and tried for treason, and he was sentenced to be hanged in November of 1885. And as a result of that, we have what we have today with the Indigenous people, that sense of racism and not acknowledging their gift of who they are and the contribution that they made to the founding of Canada. And I think about, you know, if things had been different, if Canada had truly brought in the Indigenous peoples as partners and treated them inclusively and were able to listen to them and their needs and to work together to create this nation of Canada, it would be so much different. There would be a sense of respect and care and honesty and a sense of dignity and justice for the Indigenous people that they don't have today. And so because of this, we need to continue to find ways that, as the seeds of the parable speak, of really lifting up the kingdom of God so that the full potential of everyone is acknowledged and we can all live together in that sense of community as God's people. And as a result of this, we have an opportunity on Indigenous Days to remember the and to give thanks and uplift the gifts of our Indigenous people, of how they have taught us with many of their teachings and their spirituality, and want to raise that acknowledgement in our lives today. And we also today, as Father's Day, want to lift up the gifts that our fathers have given to us and the ways that they have taught us and helped us to live up to our full potential as God's people. So as we continue, let us continue to feel that love and respect and really strive for all of us to acknowledge the gifts of each other and to treat each other with that love and respect each day. So I'm now going to invite Lauren to lead us in singing our next hymn, We Are Pilgrims.
Fellow travelers on the road, we are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
Thank you, Lauren, for sharing that hymn. It really is that sense of coming together and sharing God's journey as God's people. And as we continue to just reflect and just honor the gifts of our Indigenous people, we're going to learn about some sacred teachings, seven sacred teachings of the grandfathers. And Lori is going to join with me in reading some of these teachings with us. So the first one is humility, is represented by the wolf. For the wolf, life is lived for his pack, and the ultimate shame is to be an outcast. Humility is to know that you are a sacred part of creation. Live life selflessly and not selfishly. Respect your place and carry your pride with your people, and praise the accomplishments of all. Do not become arrogant or self-important. Find balance within yourself and all living things.
Bravery. Bravery is represented by the bear. The mother bear has the courage and strength to face her fears and challenges while protecting her young. The bear also shows us how to live a balanced life with rest, survival, and play. To face life with courage is to know bravery. Find your inner strength to face the difficulties of life and the courage to be yourself. Defend what you believe in and what is right for your community, family, and self. Make positive choices and have conviction in your decisions. Face your fears to allow yourself to live your life.
Honesty is represented by either the raven or the Kichisan, which is like a Bigfoot. They both understand who they are and how they walk in their lives. Kichi Saba reminds us to be ourselves and not someone we are not. An honest person is said to walk tall like Kichi Saba. Like Kichi Saba, Raven accepts himself and knows how to use his gift. He does not seek the power, speed, or beauty of others. He uses what he has been given to survive and to thrive. So must you. To walk through life with integrity is to know honesty. Be honest with yourself. Recognize and accept who you are. Accept the use of the gifts you have been given. Do not seek to deceive yourself or others.
Wisdom. The beaver represents wisdom because he uses his natural gift wisely for his survival. The beaver also alters his environment in an environmentally friendly and sustainable way for the benefit of his family. To cherish knowledge is to know wisdom. Use your inherent gifts wisely and live your life by them. Recognize your differences and those of others in a kind and respectful way. Continuously observe the life of all things around you. Listen with clarity and a sound mind. Respect your own limitations and those of all of your surroundings. Allow yourself to learn and live by your wisdom.
Truth is represented by the turtle, as he was here during the creation of the earth and carries the teachings of life on his back. The turtle lives life in a slow and meticulous way because he understands the importance of both the journey and the destination. Truth is to know all of these things. Apply faith and trust in your teachings. Show honor and sincerity in all that you say and do. Understand your place in this life and apply that understanding in the way that you walk. Be true to yourself and all other things.
Respect is represented by the buffalo. The buffalo gives every part of his being to sustain the human way of living, not because he is of less value, but because he respects the balance and needs of others. To honor all creation is to have respect. Live honorably in teachings and in your actions towards all things. Do not waste and be mindful of the balance of all living things. Share and give away what you do not need. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Do not be hurtful to yourself or others.
The eagle represents love because he has the strength to carry all the teachings. The eagle has the ability to fly highest and closest to the creator and has the sight to see all the ways of being great distances. The eagle's teachings of love can be found in the core of all teachings. Therefore, an eagle feather is considered the highest honor and a sacred gift. To know love is to know peace. View your inner self from the perspective of all teachings. This is to know love and to love yourself truly. Then you will be at peace with yourself, the balance of life, and all things also with this creator.
I would like to end by reading a quote from Chief Seattle in 1854. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect.
Penny will now lead us in our closing hymn. Would you bless our homes and families?
Woo!
Lord, you bless our homes and families. Source of life, who calls us here in our world of stress and tension. Teach us love that conquers fear. Help us learn to love each other with a love that constant stays. Teach us when we face our troubles, love's expressed in many ways. From the homes in which we're nurtured, with the love that shapes us there, teach us, God, to claim as family everyone whose life we share. And through all that life may offer, may we in your love remain. May the love we share in families be alive to praise your name.
Thank you, Penny. It has been a joy to be together and to commemorate both Father's Day and Indigenous Sunday together. It's always good to remember the wisdom and the teachings that come from our fathers and from our Indigenous brothers and sisters that have enabled us to live up to our potential to be all that God created us to be. So as we go, may we continue to seek to respect and to just honor one another with compassionate love and care. Next Sunday, June the 28th, we'll be celebrating Canada Day together, and we'll be inviting you to join in, and you're invited to wear red and white if you like as we celebrate the gift of Canada. And as we go today, let us continue to just show the gratitude to our Creator who has given us the gift of this creation to care for all of creation together. And may you continue to rejoice in the love of God, knowing that God is always with us. Thanks be to God. And as you go, I'm going to read to you the Cherokee blessing. May the warm winds of heaven blow soft upon your house. May the Great Spirit bless all who enter there. May your moccasins make happy tracks along the snow. And may the rainbow always touch your shoulder and give you peace. Karen will now conclude our service by playing Here I Am, Lord. Thank you.
This concludes the worship service for Bayview United Church on Sunday, June 21, 2020. If you want to join the chat after the service, you can unmute your microphones on the bottom left for Windows-based computers and start your video on the bottom left for Windows-based computers. If you have Apple products, it'll be on the top right. Unmute and start video.